That mastermind to which Carnegie referred during my interview with him was made up of more than a score of minds. In that group were men of practically every temperament and inclination. Each man was there to play a certain part, and he did nothing else. There was perfect understanding and teamwork between these men. It was Carnegie's business to keep harmony among them. And he did it wonderfully well. If you are familiar with the game of football, you know, of course, that the winning team is the one that best coordinates the efforts of its players. Teamwork is the thing that wins. It is the same in the great game of life. In your struggle for success, you should keep constantly in mind the necessity of knowing what it is that you want, of knowing precisely what is your definite purpose, and the value of the principle of organized effort in the attainment of that which constitutes your definite purpose. In a vague sort of way, nearly everyone has a definite purpose, namely, the desire for money. But this is not a definite purpose within the meaning of the term as it is used in this lesson. Before your purpose could be considered definite, even though that purpose were the accumulation of money, you would have to reach a decision as to the precise method through which you intend to accumulate that money. It would be insufficient for you to say that you would make money by going into some sort of business. You would have to decide just what line of business. You would also have to decide just where you would locate. You would also have to decide the business policies under which you would conduct your business. In answering the question, "What is your definite purpose in life?" that appears in the questionnaire which I've used for the analysis of more than 16,000 people, many answered about as follows. "My definite purpose in life is to be of as much service to the world as possible and earn a good living." That answer is about as definite as a frog's conception of the size of the universe is accurate. The object of this lesson is not to inform you as to what your life work should be, for indeed, this could be done with accuracy only after you have been completely analyzed, but it is intended as a means of impressing upon your mind a clear conception of the value of a definite purpose of some nature and of the value of understanding the principle of organized effort as a means of attaining the necessary power with which to materialize your definite purpose. Careful observation of the business philosophy of more than 100 men and women who have attained outstanding success in their respective callings disclosed the fact that each was a person of prompt and definite decision. The habit of working with a definite chief aim will breed in you the habit of prompt decision, and this habit will come to your aid in all that you do. Moreover, the habit of working with a definite chief aim will help you to concentrate all your attention on any given task until you have mastered it. Concentration of effort and the habit of working with a definite chief aim are two of the essential factors in success which are always found together. One leads to the other. The best-known successful businessmen were all men of prompt decision who worked always with one main outstanding purpose as their chief aim. Some notable examples are as follows. Woolworth chose as his definite chief aim the belting of America with a chain of 5- and 10-cent stores and concentrated his mind upon this one task until he made it and it made him. Wrigley concentrated his mind on the production and sale of a 5-cent package of chewing gum and turned this one idea into millions of dollars. Edison concentrated upon the work of harmonizing natural laws and made his efforts uncover more useful inventions than any other man who ever lived. Henry L. Doherty concentrated upon the building and operation of public utility plants and made himself a multimillionaire. Ingersoll concentrated on a dollar watch and girdled the earth with tickers and made this one idea yield him a fortune. Statler concentrated on home-like hotel service and made himself wealthy as well as useful to millions of people who use his service. Edwin C. Barnes concentrated on the sale of Edison dictating machines and retired while still a young man with more money than he needs. Woodrow Wilson concentrated his mind on the White House for 25 years and became its chief tenant thanks to his knowledge of the value of sticking to a definite chief aim. Lincoln concentrated his mind on freeing the slaves and became our greatest American president while doing it. Martin W. Littleton heard a speech which filled him with the desire to become a great lawyer, concentrated his mind on that one aim, and is now said to be the most successful lawyer in America, whose fees for a single case seldom fall below $50,000. Rockefeller concentrated on oil and became the richest man of his generation. Ford concentrated on flivvers and made himself the richest and most powerful man who ever lived. Carnegie concentrated on steel and made his efforts build a great fortune and plastered his name on public libraries throughout America. Gillette concentrated on a safety razor, gave the entire world a close shave, and made himself a multimillionaire. George Eastman concentrated on the Kodak and made the idea yield him a fortune while bringing much pleasure to millions of people. Russell Conwell concentrated on one simple lecture, Acres of Diamonds, and made the idea yield more than $6 million. Hearst concentrated on sensational newspapers and made the idea worth millions of dollars. Helen Keller concentrated on learning to speak and, despite the fact that she was deaf, dumb, and blind, realized her definite chief aim. John H. Patterson concentrated on cash registers and made himself rich and others careful. The late Kaiser of Germany concentrated on war and got a big dose of it. Let us not forget the fact. Fleischmann concentrated on the humble little cake of yeast and made things hump themselves all over the world. Marshall Field concentrated on the world's greatest retail store, and lo, it rose before him a reality. Philip Armour concentrated on the butchering business and established a great industry, as well as a big fortune. Millions of people are concentrating daily on poverty and failure and getting both in overabundance. Wright brothers concentrated on the airplane and mastered the air. Pullman concentrated on the sleeping car, and the idea made him rich and millions of people comfortable in travel. The Anti-Saloon League concentrated on the Prohibition Amendment and, whether for better or worse, made it a reality. Thus, it will be seen that all who succeed work with some definite outstanding aim as the object of their labors.